Take your Bible and remain standing and go to 2 Corinthians chapter 7. I want to preach. 2 Corinthians chapter number 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, and I'm reading 1 verse 10. That scripture says, "For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death." May the Lord have blessings in the reading of this word. God bless you, be seated. A very unusual topic. I want to give a little exhortation here this morning that are titled "Convinced and Concerned." Convinced and concerned. Convinced, like convince. Those who eat meat too much. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Convinced and concerned. And this, in the context of what we want to share today, the meaning of convince, to convince somebody, is to make somebody or yourself believe that something is true. That's the meaning of convince. I repeat, to make somebody or to make yourself believe that something is true. That's the meaning of the word convince. So from the word convince, we have the word convinced, to be convinced. I am here as a preacher to convince you. And your response to me will be either you are convinced or not. So to be convinced is to be completely sure about something. To be completely sure about something is to be convinced. And remember, I say the topic is convinced and concerned. But also from the word convince, you have another word, convict. Conviction. There's convince and there's convict. I'm not teaching you English language, but I want you to understand what we want to talk about. Hallelujah. Because even me myself, I'm so poor in English that a member one time offered to brush my English. If you come to this church, in our English, they look, you'll be so stumbled. Because here, we will not go to school. Amen. So, better catch what we are saying rather than the grammar we are speaking. But to be conviction, the meaning of conviction is the act of finding somebody guilty of a crime in a court of law. That's the meaning of conviction. Hallelujah. When a judge finds you guilty, then he convicts you. Amen. That is, conviction is the fact of having been found guilty. The fact of having been found guilty. Amen. So you see, first the judge will be convinced. When he's convinced that you are guilty, then he will convict the accused. I'm still speaking English. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, in terms of salvation and redemption concerning the gospel. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believe should not perish but have everlasting life. And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Praise the Lord. Now, but listen, when you are convinced, you are then convicted, then you are concerned. Listen, it is only when you are convinced that you can be convicted. And when you are convicted, it is then you can be concerned. Being convinced and concerned. Amen. You have to be convinced first about God's program for salvation. Because so many of us are just religious people. You decided to see all the religions in the world, and you saw Christianity is better than many of them around you. So you decided to be going to church. You see? And some of you are just born into a Christian, a church-going family. That is why you are still going to church till today. But nothing more beyond that. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. And that is why Christianity is about revelation. Christianity is about revelation. Because unless you catch the revelation of salvation through Jesus Christ, you will never be convinced. So revelation is to make you to be convinced. Amen. You can never be convinced if you have not caught the revelation. You see? Praise the Lord. Convinced and concerned. Revelation is so important. I'm saying this because this inspiration came to me as I was meditating on why, for some people have been in this ministry for years and there is nothing indicating they understand what we are talking here. When you see somebody come to a church like this and he's still living ungodly lifestyle, he's still living like people in the world there, and you claim to be a Christian, and you have all the versions of the Holy Bible in your bookshelf, plus concordance and dictionary of Bible, plus Bible commentaries from all the commentators, and yet with all that, you still don't live a life reflecting what you read, what you are holding on to. The only reason the Holy Ghost is making me understand is because that person is not yet convinced. And the only reason why you are not convinced is because of the level of understanding called revelation. You see, when the Bible says the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life, and so many of us are Christians to the letter. You can quote the Bible, but the meaning of what you are quoting, you don't know it. How do I know you don't know it? The life you live shows whether you understand what you are reading. When the Bible says that Apostle Paul was telling the Corinthian church, and mentioned that those who will not inherit the kingdom of God, inherit the kingdom of God. Can we open it? Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Verse 9. It's a scripture I have read in this ministry several times. When he says, verse 9, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? He made it clear. And every one of us, we are hoping to go in the rapture. We are hoping to be in the millennium. We are hoping to die and be with Christ. We are hoping to go to heaven. And Apostle Paul is saying it clearly. The Bible, the Spirit of God speaking to Apostle Paul. He said, the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom. He said, be not deceived. Among other things, he mentioned some of them here. Neither fornicators, nor idol worshippers, idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. What is written is written. Somebody who is coming to church, you are sitting down here, you are listening to me. They give you form, feel your religion, you feel Christian. You hang a cross in your car, in your house, on top of your Bible, sticker, bride of Jesus Christ. And that Bible is on the table in your bedroom. And then you are bringing your girlfriend and sleeping with her there. Are you convinced about what Apostle Paul said here? No. That's what I'm trying to tell you. You're not convinced. You are stealing. It's because you are not convinced. Though you are holding the Bible. You see? Hallelujah. Jesus Christ was saying something. Why condemnation has come to the world? He said condemnation has come to the world because light was given to them, but they rejected light. That is why condemnation has come. That is, the world will remain in darkness. Why? When he said light, it's not torchlight or Nepal light. It's not electricity light. It's the light of God's word. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Nothing more. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet. Hallelujah. That is the light. It's the word. Nobody knows how to come out of the confusion that Adam and Eve has plunged us into. But God came to show us the way. He pointed light in darkness. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Hallelujah. No man can come to the Father except through me. He is the one showing the way from earth to glory. And people who are supposed to have heard him and following him, they are still living like devils. What other remedy are you looking for? I'm talking to somebody. I'm not talking to everybody. Because there are some people that have made agreement. They have covenanted their soul to go to hell. I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to somebody who has decided to go to heaven, but he's on a borderline. There's a borderline. You have not totally, you are not fully in the world, but you are not also fully in Christ. You are in the borderline. Something tells you there is something here, but you position yourself. When you look at Christianity, there's light here, but you have positioned yourself so that you can also still look at the world. It be like say, I won't go heaven, but man must work. You are the one I'm talking to. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. You want to go to heaven, and he said, drunkards,
drunkards. Drunkards. We never go there. But you are still a drunkard.
He said, no, only one shot I take. And one shot, Abby. Do you think that a drunkard is only one who drinks and gets drunk? A drunkard is anyone that is addicted to wine. And what is the evidence that you are addicted to it? The scripture has told you to stop. You cannot stop. At least make I take one shot. You are a drunkard. If you are not a drunkard, then stop it now. You don't have the ability to stop it. Your soul has been hooked to it. So you try to stop it, you can't. And then, the worst estate of a Christian is to justify any action of unrighteousness. To try, there are people of that you know you have a problem with your soul. Your conscience, the spirit tells you something is wrong with your Christian life. Instead, you will open Bible hoping that you will see one scripture you can hold on to justify your continuity in sin. You see, be sincere with yourself. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. When he speaks about abusers of themselves with mankind, he's talking about lesbians and homosexuals. And this scripture is not talking about lesbian homosexuals outside. He's talking about those who are holding the Bible. I'm saying, you are not convinced. That's why. You are following a religion that you don't even believe. You are following a religion that you don't even understand. Or rather, you are serving a God that you have not even understood. You don't even believe in fully. I like this silence. I love this silence. Because it is hope that you are drinking what I'm telling you now. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And the only reason why you are in the estate that you are into somebody, that borderline Christian, the only reason is because you have no revelation. Because the Bible says in Romans 1:17, the just shall live by what? By faith. Faith here is a revelation. I've explained that several times here. The denominational preacher will tell you, because every interpretation they give to scripture is to prosper, prosperity. While the bride sees redemption and salvation in every scripture, the worldly preachers, all they see right from the cross of Calvary, like I spoke during the Friday vigil, all they see concerning Jesus Christ is prosperity, 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 until I had to read a book where a prosperity preacher was dissecting what happened on the cross on Calvary, and all he was seeing on the cross of Jesus Christ was Jesus Christ, a flamboyant preacher. How does he know? The coat that he wore was designer coat. How does he know? The soldiers were struggling, and then they tore it to pieces, and each one they shared it among themselves. Why were they struggling over his cloth? It's because it was made of special material. So therefore, Jesus was a designer wearer. And that is what all of them are repeating. They failed to see the sorrow that he went through on the cross of Calvary. They failed to see the blood that came out and touched the earth. When his cloth touched the body of those soldiers, did it change them? Did they react? But when his blood touched the earth, there was earthquake. The Bible says so. The emphasis is on that blood, not the cloth he wore. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You see the difference between the bride and the concubine? Every scripture I read in the Bible, I am searching for redemption. I'm searching for something that confirms the love of God for me. Something that tells me, see where I will have been, but see how God brought me out. The just shall live by faith, by revelation, Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Because Hebrews chapter 11 verse 6 tells us that, and I love the way he put it. He said, for without faith, that's the way it starts. For without faith, it is impossible to please God. You see what I mean now? Without revelation, not the faith to claim promotion in your office, to claim business breakthrough. That is not that faith in Hebrew. What Hebrew is saying is, without revelation, it is impossible to please God. Because in verse 4 of that Hebrew chapter 11, he said, for by faith, Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. That means by revelation, he offered a sacrifice that was acceptable before God. Cain did not have faith, did not have revelation. So he could not do it in a way to please God. Praise God. Hallelujah. By revelation. Therefore, without revelation, it is impossible to please God. And then he added, for he that cometh to God must do what? Believe that he is God. He's not a man. He's not a human being. Therefore, you don't come to God the way you go to your earthly father. So, before you want to go to God, you prepare before you go. You prepare before you go. See, one disciple saw Jesus Christ. He said, Jesus, I must follow you. And they follow you. He turned and looked at him. He said, birds have nest, foxes have a hole, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. He was telling, you want to follow me? I'm not going to household. Think before you follow me. He said, if you will follow me, he said, pick up your cross. Hallelujah. You know, that type of gospel is not preached again. Oh, God is a good God. If a God has a cross for you, he's a good God. He's so good until he gives some of us very heavy cross to carry in his goodness. Praise the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. He that cometh to God must believe that he is God, and he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Hallelujah. That brings to my mind a discussion I had with a sister who came here and because of revelation could not go back to her church again. And she's been here for about maybe 2 years now or so. And her four members of her former church, they are telling her, but since you left our church and went to that your church where you say bride, say, but nothing is working for you up till now, no single contract. Your life is getting worse. Rethink again, where you went to.